Everything is about the chaos and the storms rather than the peace and the resolution of what things could be. And really felt like God was kind of moving me in this direction as far as beginning to look at some realities of life. How many know life just is real sometimes? Sometimes it can do that. It's just real. I think oftentimes in faith communities, we come in Sunday and we think, man, he's wearing a tie. Everything must be great. And we kind of have bought into this cosmetic culture that would just say, if something's not appealing to the eye, just cover it up, right? And we bought into this cover-up attitude when it comes to life. So much so that we'll talk to one another. How are things? Everything's just... Oh, you use it too. Okay, so you lied too. Everything's just fine, right? Even when things are not, and we justify it, right? Well, they really don't care. Well, what are they going to do to help? We justify our lying or our covering things up because we try to make it, we want everybody to understand that everything's great with us. Even when it's not. Because we almost have bought into this false narrative that if everything looks okay on the outside, then everything will be fine. Yet we miss what God says, that man is concerned with the outward appearance. Yet when it comes to him, he's concerned about what's in here. So we really began to try and get real with the realities of life that we face. Understanding that we all go through storms. And we need one another. We need one another. More desperately, I think, than we want to admit because we don't want to appear weak. We want to appear like we got everything together. Everything is fine with us. Everything is just good and fine, even when things are not. It's okay today not to be okay. Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay not to be okay. I just did that so some people would wake up. I might do it again. We'll see. It's okay not to be okay. Because we have a God who sees past all of the mask and facade that we would throw out outwardly. This morning you may feel like you're fooling a lot of people. I can tell you one person you're not fooling, and that's God. You might be able to fool me. I might be looking around and think, oh, I'm not sure who in here is struggling. We all have something. The truth is, we all are probably dealing with some things. The good news is that regardless of our past or even present circumstances, we have a God who's able to restore and redeem, who's able to strengthen and empower. And it's not about your ability, it's about His love for you. It's about His Spirit within you that would strengthen, empower, and lift. And so my hope is that throughout these weeks that we've been looking at this, that your hope has been rising. That it doesn't matter what's happening around you, that there's a God who's above it all. And He's not worried. He's not worried. There are crazy things going on in the world. Can I tell you that there's been crazier things going on in the world? A lot of times we like to think that this is the worst it's ever been. I hate to burst our bubble, but it's been worse. It's been worse. I don't think we realize how blessed really we are. And sometimes that's evident through our lack of thanksgiving, through our lack of gratefulness. See, when it comes to our blessing, we just look at the others around us. And if they've gotten more than us, then it's unfair. If they've received or been blessed in a greater degree or to a different degree than us, it's unfair. Why, when Kenny goes fishing, he always catches something and I don't? It's unfair. He's called me to be a fisherman, you know. Right? We look at one another and we say it's unfair. Why, when The cobra brought in some books to rip them up. I couldn't get into that thing. It's not fair. Why? We compare rather than just being grateful for what we have. And that is some of our issue. In real life, we don't realize that every single one of us in here have struggled or are currently struggling. I hate to say or will currently struggle, but or will be struggling, but that's a reality of life. We are promised in God's word an eternity that is free from pain, that is joyful, that is peaceful, but that's heaven, not here. That's the eternity promise, not the temporary situation. We've been looking, and if you have your books, your Bibles or iPads, open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been looking through the realities of life, the difficulties, the real things that we go through. Paul addresses them here in this passage that we've been looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've actually looked at all of them except for last week. I didn't kind of quite get through everything I felt like the Lord had put on my heart for this situation or for this point that I wanted us to look at, or this reality that I want us to look at. But we've looked at all of them. The first one, we looked at life has a way of bringing pressure, sometimes from every side. We can feel pressed. But also the reality of hope is that though we may be pressed, we're not crushed. Our hope is that even though life brings pressure, God, through His faithfulness, will strengthen us and refine us. Second reality that we've looked at is that there will be, and life will sometimes be perplexing or confusing or uncertain. But the hope and reality of hope that we have, that although we're in the uncertain times, we don't have to despair, for we have a God who is faithful. We looked at in that moment how when we can't see the hand of God at work, that's when we trust the heart of God. Living a life of faith, trusting in God to direct and guide, to rescue and save. Our hope is that we have a Savior who, although we may be uncertain, never lacks direction and always has the end. Not only is the beginning, but is the end. The third reality of life we've looked at, especially for believers, is that we will undergo persecution. We will be persecuted. But the reality of hope is that we will not be abandoned. That's good news today. That's good news, is that although persecution may come, and it is happening all over the world, also, there is a faithfulness of God that He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And last week we began looking at this fourth reality, which is life does sometimes strike us or knock us down. But the reality of hope is that we are not destroyed. Last week we kind of looked at the first key in living a life that would overcome the knockdowns that may come our way, and that's this: deciding to get up rather than give in. And this morning, I just want to look at this back end of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin looking at verse 5, and we're going to go all the way through 18. This has been the passage we've really been in this whole time. And it begins by saying this: "For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you today, for you are good. And Lord, your word today, I pray, would speak to our hearts. Lord, that your spirit today would speak and continue to have its way in this place. Lord, that we would understand, though that life may come against us, you are for us. And Lord, we can stand. We can stand, we can endure, we can persevere. One, because you've called us to it, but two, because of the Spirit of God that lives within. Lord, that you would move in us today, that you would strengthen us today, that you would encourage us today, that you would challenge us today. For your love is great, and we thank you for what you're doing and yet to do in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have been coaching soccer now for the last 2.5-ish years. And it has been interesting. Started by coaching 5-year-olds. It's like herding wild dogs, you know, that are just running everywhere. And I thought of dogs because there was a couple other animals that came into mind. I thought, no, dogs is cool. And it's just everywhere. So you're just trying to encourage them to run after the ball, to kick it every once in a while, if so they wish, and to hopefully eventually get it down to the other side to where they may actually get lucky and kick it into a goal. If you've had children in these leagues, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is absolute chaos. And you try to bring some order to it, and you're like, nope, forget it. Just go. Everybody run. And that's about it. As I've been kind of coaching and teaching and helping Carter, he's done well and kind of come along and done really well. And to the fact where he's actually playing on a travel team right now. And as he's been playing, now this isn't football, right? It's soccer. I mean, but it's more physical than like basketball. You know what I mean? Like, I got myself into it. And there are times when you're running and somebody gives you a little shiver, right? A little forearm to the arm or to the body. And Carter would, bigger kid, but he's got just a soft heart. And he would really get bothered by this. And I'm thinking, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom here. How do I instill in my son like a kindness yet a toughness? You know, being a soft, tender guy, but also a man. You know, I mean, how does the two of these balance? You know, and as a coach, you know, when he was younger, I'd go up, hey, how you doing? You doing all right? And it was just, you know, hurt, right? This last Wednesday, I feel like God brought me to another level. You know, in being. And helping him grow. He caught some pushes and some shoves. When you're better than other people, sometimes they try to push and do things, right? We see it just about any competitive thing, not just in sports. When somebody's better than somebody else, we try and knock them down, right? Or maybe more intellectual, we try and knock their legs out from under them. Or we try to do something to kind of bring them down to our level. And he got pushed a little bit, and he was upset. And I came in, I said, come on. I subbed him out, and I just looked at him. He said, they're pushing me. I said, so what? No, I didn't say that. I said, so what? He said, it's not fair. They keep pushing me. And I said, it's never going to be fair. You're faster than them. That's not fair. You're more skilled than them. That's not fair. So what they got to do is try and push or do this. And I said, we've talked about this. Be physical. Within the rules, right? There are rules, right? I don't want them going around forearming people or pushing people down. But Carter has kind of developed a bit of a reputation on his travel team. He's like the enforcer. Sometimes when he gets frustrated, he'll put his shoulder down into somebody. Because I always tell him, don't put your arms out, because that's a foul in soccer. You can't put your arms out against somebody. So I'm always say, put your arms down. So he'll put his arms down, lower his shoulder, and go right through somebody. And it's becoming kind of a reputation on the team. There was a kid on this team who was getting pushed around, and they're like, Carter, go get him. It was like they want him to kind of level it out. But even for him, who's developed this reputation on this team, here Wednesday he's playing, he gets pushed down, and he's all upset about it. You know, life has a way, even if we feel like we're doing well and we're going in a good direction, of coming out of nowhere and just knocking us down. It just has a way. Sometimes it's deserved. Sometimes we put ourselves in a bad spot. Sometimes we've made some bad decisions and we think it's just going to be fine. There are consequences to decisions. I'm just glad there's grace also. I'm so grateful that there's grace. But consequences will come. Sometimes it's undeserved. Comes out of nowhere. We've done nothing to merit or warrant this thing of life coming our way that would just lay us out or knock us down. But the truth is this, that the reality of life, we'll all face some of those times. If we're not facing them now, we know that we faced them before, and we probably will face them again. But the good news today is, though we may be struck down, knocked down, we are not destroyed. Just like we said last week, that first key to really overcoming the knockdowns of life is deciding to get up rather than give up. That we are not because of us, but because there is a power greater in us. And I guess I wasn't going to go here, but Jesus declares that I am the resurrection and the life. In this resurrection literally means to stand up. That the power of God, that the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not about us having the ability to get up. Sometimes we may not even have the ability to get up, but we have the Spirit. If we are walking by faith, we have the Spirit of God in us who gives us a supernatural ability to stand up. To stand up. And that's what we walk in. That's what we're allowed to tap into as believers. And I wonder this morning, do you feel knocked down? Unable to get up, trust in God, lean into the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And He will, within you, help you to stand up. And this morning, quickly, I want to look at the second key that we must choose in regards to being able to overcome the knockdowns of life. And the second key is this. Are we there? Maybe we don't. There we go. Yes. So we talked about determining, right? Last week, we talked about determining. What did I say? Determining to get up rather than decide. Determined to get up rather than to give in. And then today, the second key, we must choose to declare the praises of God rather than speak the complaints of man. We know this. The Bible's been clear from the beginning that there's power in words. Everything was created by God who spoke it into existence. It doesn't say God did these things. He said it spoke it and it was. There's power in words. We know from Proverbs that the Bible says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And I don't know about you, but even though we understand the power of words and the importance, it's so amazing to me how quickly we are to complain, gripe, and moan. Don't nudge your neighbor. Don't look at somebody next to you. I'm just talking to each and every one of us. How quickly we are. How quickly we go from just experiencing a knockdown and we just start off with the complaining, with the moaning, with the griping. And can I challenge you today? Rather than complain, can we change that and begin when we face a knockdown of life, rather than declaring complaints, we would begin to declare praise to God. I want you to hear this today, that your direction determines your destination. And I'll explain it this way. During a knockdown of life, deserved or undeserved, the way that you choose to orient, the way you choose to point, is the way that you will go. Sometimes I think we wonder why is he not listening to me? I mean, this is what it, and it's this complaining spirit. And we've really taken ourselves outside of all that he's wanted to be for us. I think that during the knockdowns of life, we often tend to focus on the negative rather than to praise and be thankful for what we do have. And this comes fair or unfair, deserved or undeserved. If you constantly focus on you and complain and gripe, then you will end up with you and your sour attitude. You see, I want you to hear this today, that I'm not saying that as you declare praise to God, everything around you will change. But what I do hope you hear today is that when you face the knockdowns of life and you choose, you determine to get up and not give in, to declare praise to God rather than complaints. It may not change what's happening around you, but it always changes what happens in you. Always. How can we have a peace in the midst of the storm? It's where our focus is. When we focus on what we don't have rather than what we do. When we focus on what we haven't been given rather than what we have. We will always have a sour attitude. And this isn't just our problem today. This has been the problem of mankind. This has been the problem throughout history. That as we direct our lives, either focus on complaining and being ungrateful, we will be destined to walk in that. Or we can choose to direct our lives to declare the praises of God rather than the complaints, and our destination will also be determined by that. You see, I believe that praise invites the presence of God. Why do we praise? Why do we worship? Similar to some of why when they were conquering lands, the Israelites always had the praise and worshipers in the front. It is something that maybe we'll never truly understand, but when you put your perspective in the right way, when your perspective is on the right thing, when you've orientated your life in the right direction, your destination is determined in a right way, in the good way. You want to go that way. So why do we praise? Why do we worship? Because when we do that, we're not saying, oh, we're glorifying a person, or we're trying to acknowledge a song or something that we're doing. We're saying, God, it's all about you. Everything we do. We choose today. That we've come in here with all these things of life. We choose today to fix our eyes on you. And we know from that point, even though things may not change around us, things will change in us. And God, I'd rather have a peace in that the world cannot take away than a circumstance of life that seems okay for the time, but will change like that. Because life has a way of things changing very quickly. Throughout the Bible, we see people faced not with an ideal situation. The nation of Israel specifically, and we see it specifically in Exodus and Numbers. When faced with this difficult decision or not an ideal situation, they are faced with a choice. Be thankful, praise God, complain, and moan. Can I tell you too often they chose the latter of complaining and moaning? And we see what it did. Complaining not only affected their inner peace, but it also affected their outer situation. Many died by plagues brought by God for their complaining. We see it in Numbers 11. Some were killed by snakes that God brought their way. Numbers 21. They did not get to enter the promised land because rather than being grateful, they complained. And can I tell you, there's such a powerful aspect of our lives that we will miss if when faced with a knockdown of life, we choose to complain. Now, let's just be real for a second, be honest. Every single one of us, when we're knocked down, the immediate response is complain. It's our immediate response. No, not me, Pastor. Oh, okay. I know that immediately that's where my mind goes. You may be more holy than me, but I have an uncanny ability to think of myself immediately in every situation. I would not consider it necessarily a gift, but it's what I have. Immediately, I can think about myself above everyone else in this room. That's my natural inclination. Can I say that that's yours as well? Sin will always put the I in the middle. It will always center your life on you. Sin always does that. God desires to be the center of everything we are. Yet, will we allow Him to be? When we declare complaints and moan and gripe and complain, we put ourselves in the middle. When we praise, even in the midst of situations, I tell you what, the greatest testimony that any believer would ever have isn't when things are going great to say, well, I just want to give God the praise. That's not the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony are when things are going wrong and you just say, God, I give you the praise. God, I choose today to be grateful for what you have blessed me with. Rather than to focus and fixate on this situation of life that has just knocked me down flat, I choose today to be thankful, to praise you. I think a song came out not too long ago about talking about praising in the storm. Right? No matter what the situation may be going on around, we decide, we declare praise. Complaints during the midst of the knockdowns of life will lead us in a direction we don't want to go. Whether we know it or not, I'm sure that the Israelites here, as they're brought out of slavery and as they begin to complain, man, we were taken better care of when we were with the Egyptians. What are you talking about? Sometimes you just read this and you're like, how stupid are people? But then you realize we're that way. I can't believe Pastor said stupid. We're the same way. We're inclined to be so self-focused that we forget where God has brought us from. I don't know about you. If I focused on how I feel and things around me and situations, I could complain. I could. But then when I think about where He's brought me from and where I have been and what He's done in me, the blessings that He has given to me, oh man, it would be so, how do I say this in a good way, idiotic to begin to complain rather than praise. Yet often that's where we're drawn to. Complaining will never make things better. It will never make things better. Yet we think, oh, I just got to get this out. No, you don't. You need to get more of God in. But just let me talk about this for a second. Well, what is that going to do? Complaining never makes things better. Declaring the praise of God will always bring about a better situation. Paul exemplifies this during a knockdown of his life where he chooses to declare the goodness of God. In Acts 16, we see Paul was ministering, just delivered a demon-possessed woman. The crowd joined in and attacked against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Can I tell you today that not only is there power in your praise, but your praise affects everyone around you? That your decision to declare complaint or praise will always affect everyone else around you. You ever been around a complainer? Don't nudge somebody. Don't look at somebody dead in their eye. Don't wake somebody up. Let them sleep. It's okay. You need to hear this right now. Pastor's talking. You need to hear this. When you're around a complainer, don't it just bring you down? They start complaining, griping about something, and you're like, man, I was kind of happy before I came and started talking to you. A complaining spirit has a heaviness to it. But have you ever been around somebody who's just really thankful and grateful? Sometimes it's annoying. But I think it's more jealousy than annoyance. When you're around somebody who's just really thankful and praises God, and the praise isn't just what... See, praise is more than the words of our mouth. It's really the words of our heart. Jesus tells us in Luke 6, that out of the overflow of the heart... That's the scariest verse. One of the scariest verses in the Bible. Because I hear what a lot of people say. And you think, ooh, what's going on in here? There is something that happens here. Paul and Silas have no reason to give thanks. Ministering, brought before the magistrates, and they're severely flogged. There is no logical reason here for them to be singing and praising God. Brought into the innermost place of the prison. There's no reason. It's probably the place where there's no light. The darkest place. And yet in this moment, in this place, they begin to praise. Can I tell you that even in your darkest moment, praise will affect your environment? In fact, I think it's then when we really need to, more than ever, begin to praise and give thanks. The truth is this, when it comes to us and understanding the power of our praise, and I'm not just talking about when we gather today together, I think that there's power there in our praise, but I'm talking about everyday life. That there's power in our declaring praises to God in whatever situation may come our way. And it may not always break chains around us, but it'll always break chains inside. It may not always bring freedom for the circumstances, but it always brings freedom within. And the truth is this, when we choose and declare to praise and turn our eyes and fix our eyes on Jesus, the knockdowns of life, they still come. They still hit. But there is a peace that comes. There is a presence of God that fills us with His love, with His joy, and with His peace. Jamie, would you come? My prayer this morning was not that we would just hear information, but that God would begin to transform our hearts. I don't know what you're going through and what life looks like for you today, but I know this, that we serve a God who is faithful, who is worthy of all glory and praise. And this morning, I just want to end this way. I want us to end this way with an opportunity for us just to praise, just to glorify, just to exalt a King who is worthy. Maybe if you're like me and you're honest, you say, Pastor, you know what? I can be honest. When the knockdowns of life come my way, I may be like you. I may be drawn to complain, but I do understand that complaining will never really get me where I want to be. Never will be beneficial. And I want to declare today that when I face the knockdowns of life, I'm going to choose to praise. Now that situation, that statement's always a good one to make, but then it's always reality when you step and walk in it. See, I believe some here are understanding what that knockdowns of life feel like. And you're really faced with a decision to either complain, be bitter, resentful, or you can be grateful. And this morning, if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, that's me, I want to choose that every day that my life would declare praise to God. Not complaints that I would have, but today I want God to know, God, I'm making a choice, I'm making a decision. That with all that I am, I determine to praise you. If you're here this morning, you'd say, that's me. I just want you to stand with me. Not out of obligation or out of coercion, but we're just going to stand together. We're going to stand and we're going to praise. You got something we can sing? Yeah, okay, good. And we're just going to sing today. We're just going to declare that no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, we're going to choose to praise Him rather than complain. The knockdowns of life will come. We will determine. How do we overcome these knockdowns? By determining to get back up rather than giving in. And also, by declaring the praises of God rather than the complaints of man. Father, this morning in this place, we, your people, we declare and we ask that, Lord, you'd forgive us. For often being led to complain. For often being led to be drawn to focusing on ourself, on the I. But today, God, we declare that we focus, we will fix our eyes on you. For those that are here and in the midst of a situation of life, where life has just knocked them down. Father, I pray that your Spirit would bring comfort, would empower and strengthen them today. Maybe they feel like they can't even get up. They don't have the ability. Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally move in them. That it would be your Spirit. The resurrection. The resurrecting Spirit of God that would bring back, that would raise them up. Stand them up. That we don't give in, we get up. And that today we determine to declare the praises of God. So Father, in this place, in every heart, we choose to declare who you are. And we give you praise.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart.